from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Okay, happy Friday to everybody. That's our normal Friday theme. Sal Capaccio here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I just don't know and don't feel right continue to play that upbeat music today with the news, obviously, that broke overnight and this morning about Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew and their tragic passing last night. Of course, Johnny Gaudreau, known as Johnny Hockey, for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Calgary Flames, and they were apparently riding their bicycle in New Jersey on the eve of their sister's wedding, which would have been today then. I apparently, depending on what time it happened, maybe the wedding's tomorrow, but they're there for that and struck and killed. And there's been numerous reports that the person who struck them was under the influence. And I don't know exactly where all that stands right now. That's, you know, the investigation and legal process playing out in that regard. But in the meantime, obviously an unimaginable tragedy. And that's what, you know, the NHL and teams around the league and their families and everybody else is calling it and thinking about it, and it's just, there's no way to put into words, right? Which I'm trying to do here. So I'll read you the statement from the Buffalo Sabres. They tweeted this morning, quote, "We are completely heartbroken for the Gaudreau family, Johnny and Matthew's friends and loved ones, the Columbus Blue Jackets organization, and the entire hockey community. The Sabres organization sends all of our love and prayers during this unimaginably difficult time." So start a show today like this, and it's always, you know, something on my mind when I do a talk show, which is, you know, we talk about sports and it's a Friday and feel good and happy. And then something like this happens and it kind of, you know, puts it into perspective. It also puts you in a spot where I don't love being like upbeat coming on the radio talking about it when the entire sports world, something we love to do, something we love to talk about, you know, is talking about and dealing with this today. And it's just as I said, unimaginable tragedy, right? So we do have a story at our website, WGR550.com, and obviously there's a lot more coverage of this around, you know, the sports scene and around the news cycle. So I'm sure that you're going to be reading about it a little bit more today, and, you know, we'll fill you in any more details do come out about the passing of Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Gaudreau. Okay, it is a Friday, and it is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. A lot to get to today. Going to talk today at 10:30 a.m. today with Syracuse University Athletic Director John Wildhack. We try to do this every year with John Wildhack. He's the Syracuse AD. Syracuse opens their football season tomorrow against Ohio at home in the Fran Brown era. But the reason I like to bring John on is because obviously we have a lot of people who follow Syracuse athletics. Of course, we have a lot of people who went to Syracuse in Buffalo in the media. I know Jeremy, me, there's a lot of people, you know, on TV. I always say throw a dart in any media market and you're going to hit somebody who went to Syracuse. And, you know, but the biggest thing is I always like to bring him on to talk about he's, you know, the AD at a Power Five conference and, you know, one of the closest ones here to Western New York, if not the closest. And he will give us and he can give us a perspective on what's happening in college athletics, the NIL situation, the portal, the NCAA versus House ruling of $20 million that, you know, is got to go to all the athletes. I mean, these are things that we'll explain and he'll explain, and how Syracuse is dealing with it, how college athletics is dealing with it, realignment, TV contracts. And then, of course, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the Syracuse football game and the new seating at the Dome if you're going to a game this year. So we'll do that with Syracuse Athletic Director John Wildhack at 10:30 this morning. At 11 a.m., Alex Brasky joins me from Batavia News and the Buffalo Bills Digest. And we'll just wrap about the Bills a little bit. What do you expect? What have you seen heading into week number one, which it's here, folks, next week, week number one, right? NFL, here we go. Let's rock and roll. Last night, college football, 30 games, including, by the way, UB, great win last night in the Pete Lembo era to start off the Pete Lembo era, beating Lafayette. It was not even a really, UB kind of just took control right away. What was the final score? Let me grab this for you here. What was the final score yesterday? There we go. 30-13. Just want to make sure I said that right. But they took control right away, scored a touchdown, backed it up. I mean, really, the only thing that they had a misplay on special teams. And obviously, I could tell you today, I guarantee you, Pete Lembo and his team and his staff, you know, that's like the great situation when you're a coach. You win a game pretty comfortably, but you have a lot of things that you can get after your team about. And he's a special teams guy. And they had the punt that was blocked, and ultimately Lafayette scored, and that's something he can get after his team about, but still be 1-0 after a 30-13 victory over Lafayette. So they open up the season on a really, really good note. Then we have NFL action, obviously, starting next week with a lot more college football on the schedule this weekend, your Labor Day weekend. Speaking of Labor Day, at 11:30 today, Pat Hammer's going to join me, and we will talk about your Labor Day weekend forecast. I want to open up the phone lines at 803-0550 before we'll do something a little different today. We're going to take a little bit earlier break here in about 10 minutes from now so I can have a little more time with John Wildhack after we get to the bottom of the hour. So we'll do that. 803-0550 is the number to call here on WGR on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And yesterday, the Bills had a couple practice squad moves. It's, you know, I get it. Like, whenever they make a move, I am immediately, there's a lot of, and it's not just when they make a move. At any time, I get a lot of people tweeting me and saying, why don't they take a flyer on this guy? Why don't they take a flyer on that guy? Well, they are taking a flyer on a few guys. I mean, Lewis Cine is a guy that they're taking a flyer on. And a flyer meaning like, hey, it hasn't worked out. Doesn't look like he's, you know, able to play at this level, maybe, if what people thought he was. Let's take a flyer. He's only 2 years removed from being a number one draft pick. I'm sorry, a first round draft pick, number 32 overall. Same draft as Kyrie Elam, which is very interesting. We kind of have some parallels there, right? Where Elam just hasn't hit yet. And, you know, what's going on with him with the Buffalo Bills? But Elam has kind of stepped up his game. He's made the team. He is one of the top four boundary corners on the team. Whereas Lewis Cine in Minnesota, a team that's going through a transition as well, like the Bills. Obviously, a lot of people don't expect a lot from the Vikings. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Bills fans hope the Vikings aren't that good this year because the Bills have their second round pick this year. As it goes forward, though, Lewis Cine, as they went forward, a guy who came in, broke his leg early in his rookie year, four games in, never was able to get on the field after that. But as Matthew Collar, who was on yesterday with Shope, and others will tell you, it wasn't just the broken leg. He just never really developed or was able to jump in to help out the Minnesota Vikings the way that they thought. Now he comes to Buffalo. Now, the reason I'm bringing him up is, in case you didn't see, Lewis Cine, just a first-round pick from 2 years ago, signed with the Bills practice squad. And this is, to me, this is a flyer. This is a guy. This is the definition of a, what do we always say? Low risk, high reward. Really, what is the risk? You're putting him on your practice squad. You get 17 players because the Bills have the exemption for Kingsley Jonathan. So they get 17 players in their practice squad. Why not bring him in? And according to reports, the biggest reason why, or a big reason why, he decided to come to the Bills when other teams were recruiting him heavily, and it appeared he was going to the New York Jets, is because his college coach, Jamil Adai, is now a Buffalo Bills secondary coach. So there's some familiarity there. There's where a relationship matters, right? Hey, this guy can play. I've seen him play. I coached him. I know what he's all about. Let's bring him in. I don't know if it's going to work out. I don't know if Lewis Cine is ever going to see the field for the Buffalo Bills, ever get elevated. I don't know. If he's not, I this is one of those where I don't know what the harm is in seeing what the look is and seeing what you can do with him. Also, though, does it say anything about what the Bills feel themselves about their own safety position? It might, for sure. You know, I give my buddy Matt Bove a lot of garbage because he's always talking about Micah Hyde joining the team right now. And not that Micah Hyde won't join. I think there's always a possibility Micah Hyde could join the Bills. I just think it's not anything the Bills are interested in doing right now. And maybe Micah just, I would think Micah doesn't necessarily want to play right now. You know, maybe he might want to play at some point this year. But people ask me all the time, has Micah Hyde officially retired? No, he hasn't. And he doesn't have to. He could literally not retire. We could be talking a year from now. He hasn't retired. And a team says, hey, you want to join us? The way I see that. So anyway, circling back. So Matt in the press room the other day asked Brandon Bean about Micah Hyde. And he said, hey, we haven't closed the door. And I don't think he has either. So what does he mean? I don't think he has either is basically the way he phrased it. It means that, like, hey, he's out there. We haven't really talked about it. Yes or no. The way I read the Micah Hyde situation is the way I've always read the Micah Hyde situation, which is, yeah, if it happens, it happens later in the season. It's not something that the Bills are itching to do. The Bills want to see this. The Bills want to see this safety group succeed, folks. That's what they want. Like, if they called up Micah Hyde tomorrow, it would either have to be because, A, somebody got hurt, maybe multiple injuries actually it would take for, like, long term, or B, they just are really, really, really concerned about their safety group. I just don't think they are right now. Now, it doesn't mean they can't be a week from now, or 2 weeks from now, I guess, you know, after the game number one. But right now, it's, hey, we're going to roll with Taylor Rapp and Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop and Damar Hamlin and Cam Lewis and see where we are. And as the season goes on, if that's not working, we have a guy that we can call up that knows our system to come in. And then the other side of it is, does Micah want to play? When does he want to play? Maybe he doesn't want to play right now. I mean, you know, training camp's over. 18 games, or 17 games, 18-week season, still a lot there. So I just don't think about Micah Hyde that much, to be quite honest with you. I know others do, and I always give Matt crap because I say, on our Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast, he's always mentioning him, and I always tell him, you got to stop talking about Micah Hyde. But he might be right. Matt might be right when it comes to, are they going to? And maybe Lewis Cien signing him is kind of a sign that the Bills are in that mold a little bit. That, hey, we need to kind of figure this out. Where are we? Think about the fact they brought Kareem Jackson back to the practice squad. Kareem Jackson is a veteran, knows the system. The two guys they brought to the practice squad at the safety position are, one, a veteran who's been in the league quite a while, and two, a first-round pick from 2 years ago. Guys that they were like, hey, like, if we need somebody, maybe we're going to lean on this guy, not just some developmental guy. You could call seeing that, but, you know, he came in with a lot of traits and a high pedigree. The other guy that they signed, this Jalen Virgil. Jalen Virgil, apparently, like, he really struggled to leave Denver, who wanted him back on their practice squad, to come to Buffalo. But the report was that I had read that he decided to come to Buffalo because he believes that he might have a better path to the 53. Now, this may be a really, you know, maybe big statement, indictment on what others in the league think about the Bills wide receivers. And that's fine. And again, I'll go back to, it's kind of the same situation as safety. What the team thinks about what they have at the position doesn't have to be in line with what everybody else or other people think about what they have at the position. We all know, and we've all seen, that the Bills have had, you know, a lot of turnover here. And we've all talked about the turnover they've had at safety. No doubt. I'm a wide receiver. And at safety, by the way, at wide receiver. And there's definitely concern, right? For a lot of people, there's definitely concern. What is it going to look like? We don't know. It's one of the biggest wonderings of this offseason. What does the wide receiver room look like? What do the wide receiver targets look like? How does Josh Allen navigate throwing to all these guys who never caught a pass from him other than Khalil Shakir? Where does Keon Coleman fit in? Where's your number one? You don't have a number one. That's right. No doubt about that. But Virgil, he comes in, this is a guy that he runs 4.4. This is pre-draft time. I don't know if it's combine or pro day, but he is a 4.4 guy. So he's got some juice. He's got some speed. He's not like super small. He's not like, 5'9". They signed this guy, Codrington. They tried it for him. Codrington's a smaller guy. Daquan Hardy is a smaller guy. And this is a guy, he is a returner as well. Jalen Virgil, he can return. 6'2", 210. He's got a little more bulk to him than some of the other guys they've signed. But what he does, what's interesting to me is he is a guy that when you get the ball in his hands, he can make things happen. And I think the Bills, what's funny to me is what I've seen here, the Bills transform into really over this entire offseason, but maybe specifically even over the last several weeks with, you know, KJ Hamler and what we saw him do in that final preseason game, and then trading for Brandon Codrington and still having Daquan Hardy on the roster and now bringing in Jalen Virgil. What I've seen the Bills kind of do here, and I think this is interesting to watch, they're kind of they're collecting this talent that is, I don't want to say gadget, but guys that really could do some things with the ball in their hands that, you know, maybe they want to figure out how to incorporate that much more into their offense this year. And I don't know, maybe I'm just looking too far into it. Because what's the big knock on the receiving core this year? One of the big knocks. They don't have a guy to get down the field. They don't have a guy to separate down the field. That's really not Keon Coleman. He can separate. As I said, he separates more with his body than he does with his speed. Curtis Samuel is a fast player. It's not his specialty running down the field. He can do it. And he's done it. He did it against the Bills last year in a game against Washington. His specialty is getting the ball in his hands, lining up all over the place. We know that's not Khalil Shakir's game. It's not Dalton Kincaid's game. It's not James Cook's game. Who am I missing? It's not Mac Hollins' game, right? So when we think about those guys, then I look at, okay, what is the game? Getting the ball in your hands, making plays, rack, rack, rack. We've heard about rack since really the owners' meetings. I remember going to the owners' meetings. Actually, the combine, which was before the owners' meetings. I'm sorry. At the combine in February, both Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean talked about rack, talked about running after the catch. And then Sean McDermott at the owners' meetings in our AFC breakfast, AFC coaches breakfast, talked about, hey, the way teams are playing you now, too high shell, you got to get the ball into the guy's hands and let them make plays sometimes. Like, that's the way you can matriculate. He didn't say that. Matriculate the ball down the field. And I see how they're collecting this talent now and thinking, okay, this is kind of making sense here that they're going to this model in some capacity. Now, these guys aren't on the team, 53, unless they get elevated. Jalen Virgil, KJ Hamler, the Brandon Codrington is, right? So, but it just feels like they're creating this group that they're going to have some guys with this type of skill set that they're going to lean on at some point. Doesn't that be week one, week five? But I bet you as the year goes on, I'm just going to make this prediction right now, right? August 30th, we're not even to September yet. I'm going to make this prediction right now. I bet you at some point in this year, we're going to be looking at the Bills and going, and their offense and going, oh, they kind of threw in a few more of those types of plays with players there. Those, I don't know, what do you want to say? Gadget plays, different kinds of, just getting the ball in their hands of these guys, these faster guys, let them run after catch, whatever the play is. It doesn't have to be a play design, but these players. Like, you're going to think about that a little bit. Think about how they've kind of moved their offense a little bit towards that. And if teams start to come up on it and they start to say, hey, we have to guard against that, that's when you hit them over the top with Josh Allen. I think that's the theory. That's the way I'm going, at least. And I also think that, you know, it helps, you know, if you can run with, you can run with James Cook, as he did last year with lighter boxes, because teams are backed off on you, and then you do that, and then they come up, and again. So I think that's the model they're going towards in looking at what they did on the practice squad moves yesterday. All right, we'll take a quick timeout here, because, like I said, I'd like to do a timeout now and then get to a timeout at the bottom of the hour, because John Wildhack, Syracuse AD, is going to join me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
First and 10 from the 11. Ogbonna, read option, handoff. Henderson starts right, cuts up the middle, bullseye! A.L.J. Henderson has the Bulls on the scoreboard with the first touchdown of the season.
And from there, they just kept on rolling. The UB Bulls last night. Paul Peck on the call on the Buffalo Bulls radio network here on the Bet 1520, our sister station. Great call last night. Great game last night for the UB Bulls. 208 rushing yards overall for UB. They roll up over 200 rushing yards. They roll up over 400 total yards. Great game to start for Pete Lembo. They are now 1-0. And just get you the schedule here. Next week, let's see. Next week at Missouri. All right, there's a challenge, right? They go to Missouri next week. That's a 7 o'clock Saturday night game next week. Big challenge there against Missouri. I have to even look now what conference. Is Missouri still in the SEC? Because every team seems like they're changing conferences now. Yeah, I think so, right? They're in the SEC, right? There you go. Yeah, just want to make sure. It is. It's incredible. It's something I'm going to talk with John Wildhack about now. coming up in a few minutes. John Wildhack, Syracuse Athletic Director, is going to join me at the bottom of the hour here after we take a timeout in a minute. And, I mean, this realignment stuff, it's crazy. So the ACC, can you, Josh, I got something for you. Ready? I should have done this to Jeremy and Joe. I don't even think they could get it right. So no shame, all right? Could you name the schools in the ACC in football right now?
Oh, no way. There's been too much realignment that I just,
right.
I can't do it. I mean, obviously, Syracuse, but
okay.
That's,
you have your normal, like, you're used to Syracuse, North Carolina,
yeah.
Boston College, Clemson, Duke, Louisville, Miami, Pitt. I mean, a lot of those haven't changed, right? Virginia Tech, Florida State, Georgia Tech, big win the other day. Okay, ready? Here comes SMU, Southern Methodist University in Texas, in the ACC now. Here comes Stanford. Yes,
like
Stanford
in
California.
The one in
California? Yes.
That's
and,
crazy.
Oh, by the way, California. California, Cal, is in the ACC now. The Atlantic Coast Conference. They play on the Pacific Coast. It's wild. Anyway, we'll get with John Wildhack in a little while to ask him about scheduling, how that's all working, NIL, portal. Also, if you're heading to a Syracuse game, maybe you've been there before, maybe you haven't. I mean, when I went to the Dome, first time ever, I did the freshman stomp, they call it. There's like these little, when you go along the Dome, you kind of stand right next to it and you stomp your feet and the echo goes up and down the concrete. Boom, 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 boom. It sounds pretty cool. That's like what they teach you when you first show up on campus. I don't know. I still do that. Had Max do it. But when you walk inside, no more benches. It's now actual seats. So that'll be cool if you wind up going to a game at the Dome this year. Syracuse opens up tomorrow against Ohio. But we're going to talk with John Wildhack about all of that. NIL, portal, realignment. The way that college sports is going right now and where we are and where we're going to be. And then, of course, a little preview of Syracuse and the first game for Fran Brown as head coach. That's up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Tomorrow, Syracuse University, the Orange, open up against Ohio, 3:30 p.m. The JMA Wireless Dome in Syracuse. As I welcome in our next guest, we've been doing this every year for the last few years, and always my pleasure, Syracuse Athletics Director John Wildhack. I have to tell everybody a funny story here, and going to spring this on John and apologize to him, because last year, in January, I think it was, this past season, I took my son Max, my wife, and my mother-in-law to Syracuse for a basketball game, and you know, we try to get to a game or two every year if we can, and finally it worked out in the schedule. My mother-in-law was in town, so we all go to the Syracuse-Pitt basketball game. And Max, my 10-year-old son, I mean, he does it up. He's got the orange hair. He's got the chain. He's got the jersey on. I mean, he is just all in. He loves Syracuse, and he's just he's a super fan, right? So he puts on the stickers, Otto the Orange stickers, and he says, Dad, here. And he puts an Otto the Orange sticker on my face. And I'm like, all right, you know, it's my son, and I love him. Let's go. So I got an Otto the Orange sticker on my face. After the game, I had actually never met John in person. But I said, I need to go meet John Wildhack to say, you know, hey, good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on the radio. So I go down by the court. I see him. He's walking around. I go, hey, John, Sal Capaccio. And John, I think you looked at me like, who is this weirdo with an Otto the Orange sticker on his face? That was me. So it stuck with me ever since. And I apologize for that.
I like it, Sal. You know what? Really good wardrobe for that game. Really good wardrobe. You can wear an Otto the sticker anytime you want.
I love it. Thanks for always joining us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. What I'd like to do with you is just start kind of big picture college, and then we'll narrow it down and tell everybody about the game tomorrow and, you know, get everybody out to the Dome if we can. Let's start, obviously, where, you know, a lot of people do with college athletic directors these days and NIL and portal. I'm curious, how much of your day and your team's day is spent kind of reading rulings, navigating how you have to do it, compliance, what's happening tomorrow, what's happening next week, and what's happening in the next 6 months?
Well, it's a significant amount of time. It's a really good question because it's been a really unsettled time. It still is. The potential settlement of the House case, legal case, would provide, you know, some degree of clarity going forward beginning next year, but it's still going to be really, really murky, I think, for a number of years. So we spent a lot of time on it, and, you know, as part of that, to answer your question, yeah, I spend a good percentage of every day with NIL and increasing our NIL base, as does our overall athletics fundraising team. Because if you're going to be it all used to be about bricks and mortar sale, right?
Yeah.
And facilities still matter, and we're in a great place there. You know, the dome, unbelievable. The reseat was done over the course of the summer. It looks like a pro stadium when you walk in there. The Mello Center for Hoops is great. We have a new football performance center, well under construction. It'll open late winter, early spring. We checked the box there, Ensley Indoor Practice Facility. So we've got the facilities. Now what we're really focused on is we need to be competitive in the NIL space. And we are. We're not where we want us to be yet, but we've made a lot of progress. We need to make more, you know, going forward. And that's a key chunk of my day.
Tell me about that. How do you make sure you're competitive? What do you need to do? What are the steps you need to do to be competitive in this ever-changing landscaping, knowing where you fit in at Syracuse University and what's right for Syracuse, obviously?
Well, and that's a real, you know, we've got to do things which work for us, right? And you got to be smarter. And it's, you know, raising money is important, but you got to be smarter in terms, and you can be smart how you spend it. We hired a GM in men's basketball, Alex Klein, who was a scout for the Knicks. It's unbelievable the contacts and the information he has. We hired a data analyst, analytics specialist in men's basketball. So we've got to be really, really careful in our evaluation of whether they're high school recruits or kids in the portal, right? All right, somebody may be a really good player. Do they go to class? Are they a good teammate? They show up at practice on time. They conduct themselves the right way off the field, off the court. Are they a good locker room guy? You've really got to do. In some ways, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the NFL or the NBA.
Yeah.
You've got to know as much as you can about that individual person, you know, before you offer them a scholarship and an NIL opportunity.
I am the MC for the local chapter of Coaches versus Cancer. And last week we were down at St. Bonaventure, Mark Schmidt, all the college basketball coaches, a lot of people. One thing that came out of there in my conversations is, a lot of it's retention. You really, and what you just said speaks to me as an NFL guy, where you know your players better than everybody else knows. And if you have somebody and all of a sudden they're getting offers, tell me about retention and how important it is to kind of find the right way to keep players these days.
Critical. And the number one element of NIL and why you need to be competitive is to retain your best. Because when you have somebody who's an all ACC caliber player, you know, who conducts themselves the right way on the field, off the field, on the court, off the court, et cetera, that type of thing, you want to keep that person. So it's number one about retaining and retention. And you got to be competitive. It's not always the top dollar, but you need to be competitive. And then when you get guys out of the portal, you know, Kyle McCord's not our quarterback tomorrow unless we have a competitive NIL program. He's one series away last year at Ohio State, probably, from playing in a national championship game. They lost to Michigan on the last drive of the game. He came to Syracuse because we were competitive with NIL. He had an existing relationship with Coach Fran dating back to his Pee Wee football days in South Jersey. And candidly, he could have made more from other schools. But the fact that we put a competitive NIL package and the relationship, so relationships still matter as well. It's a combination of the two. If you do that, you can be successful. And I think we have the coaches and Coach Fran, Adrian Autry, obviously Felicia Leggett-Jack, who had great success at UB. So now it's, okay, let's build a competitive NIL program. And if we do that, we will keep our best and we'll be very will be an attractive destination for whether it's high school players or transfer portal players.
Okay, I need you to put on your educator's hat for a minute. A lot of my listeners, even though they love college sports, we don't have a Power Five right here like you guys at Syracuse. Sure. And people in Syracuse understand this a little bit more and are into it. Can you please explain what the House ruling was about the $20 million and how that's all have to be kind of adjudicated across the board?
There's still a process before it gets approved by Judge Wilkin. We anticipate, we college athletics anticipates, will get approved first quarter 2025. What it will do, beginning with the 2025-2026 season, schools will be able to directly share revenue with their student athletes in terms of, you know, athletics department generated revenue up to $20 million. So $20 million is the cap. That's the max a school can provide their athletes. There is no floor, so there is no minimal requirement. But obviously, being a Power Four school, if you're going to be competitive, you know, you've got to be at the cap or darn close to it. And then we'll enter into contracts with our student athletes. So if you're our quarterback, Sal, we'll enter into a contract with you. You'll get paid over a period of time on a monthly basis. There'll be checks and balances in the contract, right? In terms of obligations that you have. Obligations in terms of academic performance, behavioral performance. If you go in the portal, you know, we'd be able to immediately terminate our NIL payments, et cetera, that type of thing. So it'll be a contract between the athlete and the school.
And then what about oversight to those contracts? Who oversees that? Where does the oversight come from? Is that NCAA compliance? How does that work?
Compliance. It'll be our compliance office. We're already building the model for that. Okay. It's yet to be determined what role the NCAA will play. So that's a good question that remains unanswered at this point.
All right. Are you confident that Syracuse will be able to be competitive with the $20 million, however you decide? And have you decided on the number if you're going to maximize that number?
I haven't decided on a number. We will be competitive. But we've got to figure out, I want us to be smarter too. I think we can. You know, we're going to be asking people, we're going to be asking businesses. We really need businesses to support our NIL efforts. Really need businesses to step up.
I know Syracuse cares a lot about the Olympic sports, traditionally maybe known as non-revenue sports, but however you want to put it, it's not just football and basketball. There are some schools that don't have football, so they can spread that money out to other programs. Have you thought about that? Is it going to hurt other programs? How will you, I mean, you just mentioned, like, hey, if I'm the quarterback, I'll tell you, my son Max, like, he says, Dad, I want to go to Syracuse. I'm like, son, get a lacrosse scholarship, right? I mean, you know, you can go to Syracuse there. Like, sports like that, how will you approach that, and what will be the impact on all of them?
I think, you know, we're looking at all our sports, and candidly, you're going to make decisions, and every athletic director, what sports you invest in because you can be successful. Lacrosse is a really good example. And there may be sports that you still field, but those sports may look differently. Competition may look differently, maybe regional competition, et cetera, that type of thing. So we're all going to have to determine where we invest our resources.
John Wildhack, good stuff here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Last thing on NIL, Syracuse, I believe, has three collectives. Is that correct? You can correct me if I'm wrong. Something that's been asked to me, and so I figured I'd ask you, is that something you'll kind of analyze and say, is that the best way to go about it? Should you streamline into one NIL collective?
Yeah, we have three now. We have Athletes Who Care, which is a 501c3, Orange United, and the SU Football NIL. And I think as we go forward, I think it's very likely that we bring it in-house and we'll consolidate.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. All right. So realignment. I was just quizzing my producer, Josh, on who's in the ACC these days because you're going all over the country now. How has that impacted Syracuse? What does it look like? What's the model look like going forward with realignment? You have Stanford and Cal and SMU now in the ACC. How is it now and how do you see the future shaping?
Yeah, I think... I was in favor of adding those three schools for a number of reasons. I think for the ACC to be in those markets in the Metroplex, in Northern California, in the San Francisco, Oakland market, it's great. It's great for the ACC network. We have a really big alumni base in California, so they're excited about our teams coming out to play there this year. Football, we play at Cal. in November, and both our basketball teams will play at Cal and Stanford this year. And it'll be, you know, two games in one trip. So it's, you know, for us, I like it. We got a national brand. I think it's good for us to play on the West Coast. I think it's good for us to play in Dallas. We have a small but growing alumni base there. We also recruit our undergraduate student enrollment. California is one of the largest states for undergraduate enrollment, and Texas is growing. So it fits, you know, some of the profiles and some of the priorities of the university in terms of enrollment as well.
I know you you spent time at ESPN, and you really understand maybe better than a lot, maybe any AD around the country, the TV part of this. How much does TV play a role in everything that's happening here? Is it all of it, basically?
Definitely has a role. No question about that. But I think there's a misconception out there that, you know, that ESPN calls up the conference and says, you know, do this, and the conference does it. At the end of the day, it's the presidents and the chancellors that vote on membership of, you know, if the conference decides to expand or not. Not ESPN, not Fox, not CBS, not NBC.
All right, tomorrow, 3:30 p.m., Ohio at Syracuse. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing these pictures of the dome. It looks fantastic, John. Tell everybody about some of the changes that you've made. This has been something that's been going on for the last several years, obviously. If you drive along Syracuse, you go up 81, you see the top of the dome. It's lit up. It's great. But now inside the dome as well, some big changes.
Yeah, we totally reseated the building over the summer. So all the metal benches and aluminum, you know, that was 45 years old and really uncomfortable, that's all gone. So it's all chairback seating through the entire JMA Wireless Dome, 43,000 chairback seats. It looks great. It's going to be more comfortable for our fans. We've enhanced our wayfinding capabilities in and around the dome so people can get around there easier. We've added new concession offerings as well. We've revamped the game day experience. And actually, the game day experience starts 3 hours before kickoff at 12:30 with QS on the quad. Or, Sal, you can come, you can have, you know, have food, have drink, you're under a tent. We'll have the other games on from tomorrow, so you can watch the noon games, have a great time, relax, have a beer, have something to eat. And then we're also, and this is Coach Fran wanted to do this, is we're going to institute the quad walk, which will be 2 hours and 15 minutes before kickoff. And they'll march right in front on the quad, through by Hendricks Chapel. The band will be there, and it's a way for our fans to engage in the team and vice versa.
I can also put an Otto the Orange on my face if I do that. We could be
part
of that.
You certainly may.
All right, so tomorrow, obviously, Fran Brown, the era begins, Fran Brown era. I mean, this guy, I just love him. He just, every time I watch him speak, every time I see what's going on at Syracuse, I'm pumped up. I know a lot of the alumni base is pumped up. And I always joke, with total respect when I say this, I know the dude can recruit. Now we got to find out if he can coach. What have you seen from Fran Brown and what he's doing for the football team?
Well, I'm pleased with the staff that he's hired. He's got really good experience on the staff. Jeff Nixon's got a ton of NFL experience. Michael Johnson has NFL experience. You know, Elijah Robinson, our DC, one of the most respected defensive coaches in the country. Robert Wright, who is at the University of Buffalo, really good coach. So I think he's hired really good coaches. They're smart guys. I like the support staff around them. Our strength and conditioning staff's done a remarkable job. Our player personnel, recruiting, Nate McNeil, our GM. So I'm pleased with the entire operation that he's assembled. And, you know, I think through camp, I was really impressed with the physicality, the competitiveness of our camp, and the efficiency of our practices. So, you know, Fran worked the last 2 years. He worked under Kirby Smart, and Kirby learned from Nick Saban, who's the best. Before Kirby, worked for Matt Rhule at Temple and Baylor, and they went to Temple, who was terrible. They made him a top 25, went to Baylor, who was terrible at the time, made them a top 25. Matt Rhule is a really successful college coach. Then he went to Rutgers and Greg Schiano. And the only time Rutgers football has been good is when Schiano's the head coach. So he's got a really good pedigree. He's ready for this. And he's prepared for the last 20 years, his adult life, for tomorrow. And I'm confident that he's ready.
And to tie it to the Bills, I know he recruited both Deion Dawkins and Tyler Matakevich to Temple. Also, Terrell Bernard to Baylor. I spoke with all three of them last year when he was hired, and they just raved about him. The relationships, that was the big thing for me, John, was they just said, listen, like, he is going to be totally straight and honest with you. And kids want to hear that these days, especially with everything that's going on.
You're right. And it's everybody that I spoke to, and I really did my due diligence in terms of Coach Fran. The three things every person said, Sal, is he's genuine, he's authentic, and he's a great family person. And he is genuine, he is authentic, he's got a great family, he's devoted to them, vice versa. And it's interesting, you know, it's he will tell recruits, and he will tell their parents, like, it will be hard here. If you don't like hard, don't come to Syracuse, because we're going to push you. We're going to push you from a football perspective, an academic perspective, to grow as a person. We're going to teach you financial literacy. You're going to graduate. He lays out a plan where you can get your undergrad degree in 3.5 years. Sometimes recruiters, oh my gosh, you know, they're just, you know, they're salesmen, right? Mm-hmm. He recruits so effectively because of what he said, how genuine and authentic he is. And it's really interesting. I've seen him in recruiting breakfast when he gets up there and says, it will be hard here. If you don't like hard, don't come here. By the way, if you want to accomplish anything in your life, you better embrace hard.
I love it. Hey, November 23rd, Dick McPherson being honored by Syracuse University. My first year on campus was Coach P's first year. So I missed Coach Mack, actually. He had gone to the NFL. But I think a lot of people, you know, they look back so fondly on those years that he impacted Syracuse University. Just tell us a little bit about that and that day.
Well, we look forward to he'll be the 9th inductee into the Ring of Honor. And the other coaches that are in there now are Coach Boeheim, Roy Simmons, who won 5 national championship in men's lacrosse, Coach Schwartzwalder, who won the 1959 national championship team. So Coach Mack is going in with a esteemed group of coaches. Coach Mack's in the College Football Hall of Fame. He really resurrected this program, because when he took over, this program was not in a good place. And he rebuilt the program, highlighted by the 87 team, which was undefeated, and really put it on a trajectory for 20 years of success. Besides that, again, his connectivity with the community, he loved Syracuse, and Syracuse loved Coach Mack. And he gave back so much to this community. This one was kind of a pretty easy decision. He belongs in the Ring of Honor, and it'll be a special day. We'll honor him at halftime. Obviously announced it a couple days ago at the press conference. It was great to have one of his daughters and his grandson there. He's just someone that's, even though he's been gone for a while, still has, is revered, I think is the right word. He's revered in this community.
And I know Fran Brown, Coach Brown, really has made a push to make sure he reconnects to a lot of the alumni. And I know that that means a lot to a lot of people who played at Syracuse football and obviously, you know, connect to Syracuse in other ways. Okay, last thing. Thank you so much for your time. Give your best promotion for tomorrow here in Western New York. If anybody wants to take a nice drive down the 90 to go see Syracuse open the Fran Brown era against Ohio.
Here we go, Sal. It's football season. It's football season. I know the Bills open against the Cardinals next Sunday.
Yep.
Get a jump on your football. Come on down tomorrow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Good seats available. Cuse.com/tickets so you can buy tickets online. Come early. Cuse on the quad at 12:30. Have something to eat. Have something to drink. You can watch the early games. Clemson, Georgia's at noon, so you can watch that. and then come on into the dome. It'll be 71 degrees and beautiful inside the dome, and hopefully we'll create some great memories tomorrow.
And you have great seats now, and you can put an Otto the Orange on your face if you'd like as well.
Incredibly comfortable. As many Otto stickers as you want, and come enjoy our new comfortable chair back seats.
John, I always enjoy your chats. I know I kept you a little long today, but I appreciate it. Thank you so much for doing this once again and speaking to the Western New York community about Syracuse Athletics.
Thanks, Sal. I appreciate it. Go Orange. Go Bills.
All right. You got it. That is John Wildhack on the West Her Hotline. And I'll tell you, the big thing for me is, again, yes, I went to Syracuse. I know I have the connection. The big thing for me is to bring somebody like that on Power 4. I kept saying Power 5 because of the realignment. It's Power 4 now. And to bring someone like that on to talk about what's happening in the world of college athletics and college sports, who are the Power 4 now? The ACC, the Big 10, the Big 12, the SEC. Who did I not mention? The Pac-12. Used to be the Pac-10. Pac-12. It's basically gone. I mean, it is a conference, I think, now. But let's see. What are they? Well, I guess the Pac-8, then it was the Pac-10, became the Pac-12. It's just sad, man. It's just sad. Oh, yeah. Two members. Do you know that? Here you go, Josh. I know I put you on the spot earlier, but listen. The Pac-12, I'm going to read this. The Pac-12 currently has two full member institutions. Two. Amazing. Let's see. Football for the subdivision. Pacific Coast. I'm trying to read about now because remember, that went away. Cal at the ACC. Stanford in the ACC. Pretty amazing to think about it. So, yeah. It's just college athletics. By the way, if I didn't tell you, it's Oregon State and Washington now who are in the Pac-12. That's it. They're going to play every game. Just have them play a full season against each other. Round robin, home and home, back and forth. John Wildhack right there on the Western Hotline here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. All right, we have a lot more college football to get to over the next several. I mean, even tonight, more games tonight. How many games tonight? We had 30 last night. Hold on. Let me see. I'm not going to count them all for you. But tonight we have anything? Okay, Oklahoma tonight, FAU at Michigan State. Okay, there's not as many, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I will count them. Looks like 6. I'm sure there's some lower levels, but I'm looking at on my app here. It's showing me 6. TCU against Stanford, baby. Stanford, there we go. ACC. Where's TCU these days? Big 12. I got to look it up. All right. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Alex Braske is going to join me. And we're going to talk a little bit about you know, the Buffalo Bills and what they've done here over the last several days, where they sit going into week number one in the National Football League. I'd like to at some point today, and I don't know if I can have time to necessarily do this because we're going to do a lot more on it next week. But at some point today, I kind of like to look at week one. I'm just really, really excited for week one in the NFL and what it looks like on paper, at least for some of these teams and where they are. So we'll do that at some point today as well. Alex Braske, Batavia Daily, also Bills Digest. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Alex Braske because he's joining me next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
When I say BS like this, it really ticks me off, okay? What the hell are the players thinking about here? Josh Allen, one of the top three quarterbacks, one of them dogs that can literally put a franchise on his back, and he's somehow overrated? Are we saying this because he hasn't been able to get past Patrick Mahomes, who I've constantly said, we're like in our Jordan era right now. That's who I'm comparing Patrick Mahomes to, Michael freaking Jordan, okay? And we want to sit here and talk about Josh Allen's overrated. I tell you what, if Josh Allen was available to go on your team, I know damn well you want Josh Allen on your team.
That's the best point, right, by Damian Woody, which is, okay, let's take everybody who said he's the most overrated, whoever that is, whatever players put him high on their list, then say to them, if every quarterback was available in the league, rank where you'd put Josh Allen to get. They'd all have him like top 3 or 4 at worst, right? Come on. Give me a break. For sure. I misspoke on the last segment, and I'll tell you why I misspoke, but thank you. Anytime you misspeak on the radio, people let you know about it, so I did. So I said the Pac-12 now is Oregon State and Washington. Of course, it's Oregon State and Washington State. Not Washington, it's Washington State. Thank you very much to Mayor Jeff, who reached out to me via Twitter to let me know. And thank you. I do appreciate that, because I should get it correct. And I'll tell you why I read it that way, because this is getting connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. The reason I read it that way, I actually went to Wikipedia to make sure. Like, I'm like, okay, I'll go to Wikipedia. I'll get the two schools that are in, so I don't mess it up. And sure enough, I still messed it up. And the reason is, if you go there, depending on how your font is, it says Oregon State University, and then below it says Washington, and then the next line, State University, because it couldn't fit State. So I just read Washington without looking underneath it. My bad. It's just because it's so confusing, you had to make sure, and then I screwed it up. So thank you, Jeff, for reaching out to me and let me know. Oregon State and Washington State, the only two teams in the Pac-12. Can we do this with the NFL? Realign and have like two team divisions or something like that. Alex Brasky joins me on the West Her Hotline. What do you think? Realignment in the NFL, what would it look like? How do we do this?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I think you obviously divide it East and West, kind of similar to the NBA. I like the idea, Sal. I think these divisions may be a little bit dated. Why don't we go for something new, a fresh start?
Yeah, listen, I mean, back in the day, as they say, the reason why they could never, like, you couldn't put, like, you had to have the two New York teams separate back when you had the two LA teams separate, and this is even before the current LA teams, things like that. You had to kind of balance out the TV markets because CBS had the AFC and Fox had the NFC, or maybe CBS had the NFC and NBC had the AFC back when I was a kid. So you could never have, if the one big market, then you had to have another big market kind of even each other out. Nowadays, Alex, as you know, games can be on any platform, any network, anytime, anywhere. We know that with all the streaming, with how they share. So honestly, like, you could do geographic now, and it kind of wouldn't matter with the TV market sizes, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I'm totally in on this. Give me Bills, Browns rivalry. Give me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all in on that. Give me the rehash of the 6-3 game that we had years ago.
No one wants to see that again. No one wants to see that again. But what will it look like this year? Alex Brasky joining me here on the West Her Hotline. Of course, Batavia Daily, also Bills Digest. All right, 53-man roster. Let's catch up. Let's circle back to Tuesday. What surprised you, if anything, about the initial 53?
Well, I think clearly with the initial 53, the surprises were with Tyrell Shavers and KJ Hamler both missing the roster, and then Daquan Hardy. I think all of us on the beat watching practices preseason, that joint practice with the Steelers, Daquan Hardy was not only a star in terms of being a rookie, but just a star on the field overall. I thought he really shined in his opportunities on the boundary. He was brought in just as that slot corner type, but really performed a bit better in that regard. Now, there were some concerns with his special teams risk-taking and feeling the ball inside the five, but I think that was just a matter of a rookie trying to prove himself, maybe a little bit over-eager to do so. So those were my biggest surprises. You look down the list, Kingsley Jonathan, that was also a surprise to find out your report that he is an international pathway player, and certainly the Bills taking advantage
And I just want to say, and that's a great distinction. So it's not even pathways. He's just an international player now, and that's actually kind of been revised. So the pathways program is different. It's so confusing now. I was surprised too, Alex, but he's an international player, not part of the pathways program, but now you actually get an exemption for one international player since he was born in Nigeria and still has a citizenship there.
Yeah, very interesting. And obviously Travis Clayton was kind of pegged as that player.
Yes.
He's since moved to IR and his season is over, so that allowed them to keep Jonathan in that role. And I was impressed, I thought, with his preseason. I thought particularly on special teams he really had a good stretch. But Javon Solomon, being the rookie, that high upside, I think he just kind of overtook him in terms of the pass rushing role. But good to keep Jonathan, maybe a surprise or two, but relatively cut and dry, I think. We talk so much about getting these players back on the practice squad, and we're worried when they're cut in terms of Bills fans discussion. And it's really all for naught at the end of the day, because you see the Bills really had their pick of the litter in terms of bringing players back on their squad.
And then the practice squad gets formed. Actually, you know what? Before I get to that, let's go to Joe Andreessen. I think most of us, you included, you know, thought Joe was going to make the team. But how solid do you think that his footing is here on the team, and what do you think his role is?
I think it's solid. I don't think you put a player like this with his type of story. I think you take that into consideration when you're making this decision. You don't want to get fans' hopes up and then kind of pull the carpet out from under them a few mm-hmm. weeks later by cutting the guy. And I think his performance on the field also justified it. You saw that performance against the Steelers, and while he didn't have as impressive as a performance against the Carolina Panthers, he, I think, was involved on that touchdown early in the game from Bryce Young, maybe a miscommunication in the middle, but still afforded himself pretty well. And just the way that his team has seemed to rally around him, I think it gives them something to really spur this team along as they go into this season, just a heartwarming story, and really the production matched it as well.
Alex Braske on the Western Hotline. All right, practice squad gets formed. Everybody who was on the initial practice squad on Wednesday was actually, you know, somebody the team had released, and then they added a couple guys. Let's talk about these guys. Jalen Virgil, and not necessarily him specifically. He is a guy that, you know, has a little bit of juice, but just a wide receiver group. You mentioned Tyrell Shavers. KJ Hamler does come back. No more Andy Isabella. They moved on from Justin Shorter, who has since signed with the Vegas Raiders. How do you see that group from top to bottom, including the rostered players and the practice squad?
Yeah, I think it's strong. I think you bring back a lot of young talent that you're hoping to continue to develop. You saw that the past few seasons with an Alec Anderson, a Ryan Vandermark really working their way up through this system. And you bring back a Zach Davidson, a Richard Garage, a Tylon Grable to the 53-man roster. I think that's the transition the Bills are trying to make. You had so many veterans toward the bottom of the roster the past several years, and now you make that transition with so many new faces, not only in the starting lineup, but you keep a Tecori Couch and players like that. I think it's really important to develop that end of your roster and really bring the youth movement along here while they go through this transition. You hold on to a Daquan Hardy, too. I just think from top to bottom, this team, while the floor may not be as high as it's been in recent years.
Right.
I think the ceiling may be a lot higher for this team. You have a lot of unproven talent, a lot of untapped potential. It could go either way, but I think it was time to move on from some of the players they did last year. You look at some of the losses they encountered with a Jordan Poyer, even a Micah Hyde that is still being discussed to come back to the team. Mitch Morris. Really players kind of on the downside of their career, and to bring in these young players to potentially replace them, I think that's very important in this transition that they're going through.
All right, well, speaking of all of that, pretty interesting move yesterday. They signed Lewis Cine. First-round pick just a couple of years ago, Kyer Elam's draft class. He was the number 32 overall pick. I mean, I don't know if you have any thoughts on Cine himself. You can get into that, but just the overall safety position in conjunction with what you just said and what it means to bring a guy like that in.
Yeah, I think it works against the narrative of bringing Micah Hyde back, right? I think that's definitely what they're trying to do. I mentioned the youth movement. I think they're looking for maybe some lightning in a bottle here with one of these younger players bringing in, trying to replace the Jordan Poyer, the Micah Hyde. They're pretty set on Taylor Rapp. I think they were set on Mike Edwards, but the injury maybe set him back, so giving some of these younger players these opportunities on the practice squad. You also keep a Kareem Jackson to potentially fill in. I think they're trying to catch lightning in a bottle here and figure out just what's going to stick in this safety room. I think they're uncertain beyond Rapp, but they've certainly brought in a lot of options. And Lewis Cine, once a highly touted prospect, obviously dealt with the significant injury, but this team is known to develop defensive backs, and if he can remain healthy and potentially get back to that high prospect status, it could be a good move for this group.
Alex, what do you think about what they've done in the return game here? Obviously, we mentioned Daquan Hardy a little while ago, you did, and Brandon Bean said it just wasn't quite there yet. Like, they like him. His arrow's up, but it's not quite there yet. And there's a lot of his trust, but they do trade for a guy in Brandon Codrington, who on his first day in Buffalo, I asked him, what's the windiest you've ever fielded the ball in a game? But he said today, if there wasn't a game, but And it wasn't even that windy, but he obviously, it's a guy that they've done some work on. They trust he'll be able to do it. KJ Hamler's still around. How do you feel about how they've approached that position?
Yeah, I think they're just uncomfortable with the inexperience of a player like Daquan Hardy. And with the new kickoff and so many changes, it's tough enough to for this coaching staff to kind of understand what they're going to go with week one. And I don't think they're comfortable with putting a player like Hardy taking so many risks during the preseason. And you saw Codrington just explode during this preseason with the Jets in terms of his return ability. I think he broke like a couple of tackles per return or something like that. So I can only imagine the Bills special team scouts just watching this guy throughout the preseason, knowing the team's need at kick returner and knowing how Hardy had some slip-ups. KJ Hamler never really stepped to the forefront. I think this team was kind of perusing the market throughout the preseason and looks like they found their guy. And then you bring in a Virgil who also has some return ability. So I think maybe that has yet to be fully decided in terms of a season-long answer, but looks like they're ready to go with Codrington at least to start the year.
One of the bigger questions, most frequent questions we all get is about Tyler Bass. He had an uneven training camp kicking. He was 5 for 5 until his final kick he missed in the preseason against the Panthers. But there's a lot of concern from Bills fans. How concerned are you, and what do you think the organization feels, what their concern level is?
I think there's definitely cause for concern. And I mentioned it, I think, on Right Here, Right Now, our podcast at the Batavia Daily News with my co-host A.J. Cebulski, how I think the Bills would have loved to get out of that preseason without that last opportunity for Tyler Bass. You presented that long kick in that game, and with all the doubt circling amongst the fan base, I think they would have maybe much rather gone into the regular season without a potential for a miss. They've been trying to build his confidence throughout this offseason at every turn. Every time you ask Sean McDermott or Brandon Bean about Tyler Bass, it seems like they go out of their way to try to build this guy's confidence. And that's really what it comes down to for me. This guy has the ability. We've seen it in the past. Big leg, has made clutch kicks before, but something turned last year, I think, in terms of his mindset or his psyche, just something there that he's lacking the confidence now that he needs. We saw him go perfect in the preseason leading up to that game, but finally tested from beyond 50 yards and failed the test. And I think that can only hurt his confidence going into the regular season. Now, if we see in these first few weeks he gets a few opportunities and comes through in big spots, maybe he makes a game-winning kick, maybe it all turns around for him. Now, that's how fragile it can be for these kickers. But I think if you ask me right now, I think I'm concerned with Tyler Bass. And I think if you were to give the Bills some truth serum, I think they'd also tell you they're concerned with Tyler Bass. They just are not going to say that publicly because that's just going to dash his confidence even further.
Who are you higher on in the AFC, the Jets or the Dolphins, and why?
Oh, the Jets for sure. I'm really low on the Dolphins this year. I think they're going to be able to score with the best of them as usual. They add speed on speed this year. I know Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be out a little while, but you have Jalen Waddle, you have Tyreek Hill. The running backs that they have are incredible in terms of their speed, so they're going to be able to score. I don't think they're going to be able to stop anybody. They sustained so many losses on defense. They're still dealing with some injuries on that side of the ball. I was listening to your interview with Marcel Louis-Jacques. They're also dealing with some injuries on the offensive line, so I think this could be a down year for the Dolphins. And conversely, the Jets. Now, a lot remains to be seen with the Jets. They're a completely unproven commodity. Aaron Rodgers left, what, 4 plays last year. So we don't know what we're going to see from him. But the cast that they've assembled around him, I think it's one of the most talented in the AFC, definitely the AFC East. You have Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, two of the best players at their position, not only in the conference, but the league. And then you look at that defense year after year. It's a bugaboo for the Bills and one of the most dominant units in the league. If the Jets can all get it right, now I say if, it is the Jets at the end of the day, but if they can all get it, if they can get it all right, I think I'd be much more concerned with the Jets than the Dolphins heading into this season.
All right, last night we had our big Bills media fantasy football draft. There's two different leagues, essentially. Then at the end, you play off for a championship. Are you and I, are we in the same league, same division? I don't think we are. Are we?
I don't think we are. I think I'm in the North Towns.
And I'm in the South division. Towns?
Yeah, I think that's the case.
Yeah, I think I'm in with...
I was scouring the player list. I was wondering if I could draft Travis Hunter. And you're my go-to guy for NFL rules and bylaws. Can the Bills sign Travis Hunter to their practice squad?
So.
Is that something that's legal?
You know what? Here's the thing I would tell you. No, okay, but... Who knows these days? Maybe college football just says, go ahead. You can do it. And the NFL says, yeah, we'll do it, right? I have no idea. I don't know if you heard, I just interviewed John Wildhack, the Syracuse athletic director. I mean, it's wild out there, no pun intended on his name, but it is really, really crazy, all these rules to try and keep track. You know, you're right. There's a lot for the NFL, and I pride myself on trying to know those rules and keep everybody up to date and all of our followers, and we try to do that with the CBA. I mean, it's even more wacky right now in college. So you combine those together, maybe they can sign Travis Hunter. I'm not really sure about that, to be honest with you.
I mean, what a performance from him last night. That
amazing
catch in the end zone in the corner. It's like when you're playing a video game and it's like a glitch happens. That's really what happened. I don't know how he caught that ball through the pass interference, through the tight coverage. Just incredible performance from him. If he stays healthy this year, I mean, he's got Heisman written all over him.
Yeah, for sure. How does your team look after last night? How'd you come out of last night?
I like it. I got a few mixed reviews when I posted on Twitter. Let me pull it up here.
Did? I didn't see you post it. That's great. I love that. I did not post mine on Twitter, but maybe I will later.
I did take Khalil Shakir. He's my third wide receiver. I got Garrett Wilson and Rashee Rice ahead of him. I think I'm a little weak at wide receiver. I'm playing two tight ends in my starting lineup, one at flex. So it's going to be an interesting year. One of the jokes was my running backs need an AARP card. I got Derrick Henry in my starting lineup, and I got Zeke Elliott on my bench. So I'm really hoping that 2018 can be reinvigorated here.
All right, so I'm looking at my team. Because we're in like different leagues, even though you can play each other at the end, we both drafted Javonte Williams, so that's good. I like my receivers. I have Justin Jefferson, Jalen Waddle, and T. Higgins. I think I'm pretty set there. So
That is absolutely solid.
Yeah, a little different than you. Well, it'll be fun. We always like to see where our media colleagues fall and people can roast us as you did. You tweeted it out at Alex Brasky, by the way, on Twitter. You want to roast Alex's, you know, fantasy football. How many fantasy football leagues are you in?
I'm in two. I'm in one with my buddies from high school and another with the media group. I've kind of trimmed my leagues over the years. Fantasy football for me isn't really what it used to be. I think there's a little bit too much that goes into it. Some of these people that you're in leagues with just study it to death, and it really makes the playing field very, very difficult for us who are more casual observers of the fantasy scope.
Yeah, I totally hear you on that. All right, tell everybody where they can catch the podcast. They can read everything that you're putting out there. And as we head into week number one, which obviously next week's going to be a big week.
Yeah, everything on at Alex Brasky on Twitter. The dailynewsonline.com is where you can find our daily coverage of the Bills from practice and games and whatnot. Also, Bills Digest, the season preview issue is available now. I'll be posting a link probably this weekend. And then you can also find that in Wegmans. And also the Right Here, Right Now podcast will be previewing that week one game coming up against the Cardinals. I think maybe a little bit more difficult of a matchup than people assume. That offense can really move the ball, I think, with Kyler Murray at the helm. It's just going to be a matter if they can stop anybody.
Well, we're going to find out what the weather's going to be like. So after we get to the next break, on the other side, we'll have Patrick Hammer, who's going to give us a little look ahead to maybe what it's going to be like in, 9 days from now. We'll talk about Labor Day weekend weather. But I'm a little upset, Alex, because he tweeted out earlier that we'll talk about the weather, and he put an eyeball emoji with a little rain emoji.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's certainly worse news for you than me. I'll be up in the press box in the friendly confines. You'll be out in the rain. So
yeah, you'll be nice and dry and warm.
Can you go umbrella?
No, I don't think I'm allowed to. I don't think I'm allowed to have an umbrella down there. I think because it blocks the view of people.
You'd be like a smaller version of the Boogermobile.
You know, that's an idea. Maybe we could do something like that. The year of COVID, I was down in the moat, the stands. I couldn't get on the field because of the rules and, you know, contact, close contact. And I think because there was no one in the stands, I was allowed to use an umbrella, but I don't think I did that year. I don't know. I don't know. I go to, listen, you know, you're down there on the sidelines. Tracy Wolfson, when she's there for CBS, they have this whole little like setup. It's like she's in a yurt, basically. Like, she just goes in there. And I'm like, I want to go in there and share that with you. I want to get warm. You know, I mean, they take care of their sideline reporters. But we got to tough it out here on radio, all right? We got to be out there in the elements. So it's all right. We're going to find out what's going to happen. Alex, thanks for jumping on today. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend.
Thanks, Sal.
All right, you got it. Alex Brasky right there. Good stuff from him. Batavia News and Batavia Daily and... Right here, right now, podcast. Let's get to Orlando, who wants to chime in. Hey, Orlando, what's going on, man? You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal, how are you?
I'm good.
Hey, you guys just had John on, Wildhead on. And
yep.
My son's a football player down here in high school. And he got an offer from Syracuse. And I'm jumping up and down here. And everybody else says, what? Because all they know is Florida State, you know.
I called you Orlando. You're calling from Orlando. I apologize for that. What's your name?
Orlando. T. I just go by T.
T. Thank you, T. I apologize. It says Orlando on my screen, and I just mixed that up. But yeah. I appreciate it. So yeah, I mean, listen, in the Syracuse, I will tell you this, T. The Florida to Syracuse pipeline, when I was there in the 90s, was alive and well. There were a lot of really big Florida players who went up to Syracuse, or at least guys from Florida that did well there. And then it went away for a long time, and I think they've really come back to that over the last several years.
Yeah, I think Fran has brought it back. Yeah, I think that they made the right choice there. But I'm just saying how I called my brother up in West Seneca, you know.
Yeah.
I'm all for Syracuse. I'm jumping around. And my son's like, Dad? I'm like, you don't know what Syracuse means to us from Buffalo. You're going.
Okay. Well, a couple questions for you. What position does he play?
He's a cornerback. He has 4 SEC offers. Four Big Ten offers and 3 ACC offers right now. And
that is amazing. Congratulations to him. Listen, I mean, I know as the dad, you're navigating through all this stuff. I'm sure it's a lot to sort through with all this stuff that's going on with NIL and stuff like that. And I'm sure like any good dad, you're going to allow your son to make the best decision that's for him. But how much of it is you kind of, how much of it is you going, you know, Syracuse, pretty good spot and the family can watch you?
Well, no, my thing is to him is, go where you want it,
yep.
Where they really want you to play. It doesn't have to be the big SEC school or everything else because you never know. But go where you're going to get a degree.
Yep.
Where they really care about you getting a degree and where they're going to take care of you, you know. Yes, yeah. But this NIL stuff, because we're old school. I'm saying you and me, we're old school.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. I don't even know how to approach it.
It's wild. Let me ask a question. As a parent, this is good stuff, T. As a parent, how do you approach it? Do you like hire someone or have someone that understands the rules and navigating and what's best? Like, do you have to, you know, have some sort of consultant? Like, how do you go about that?
Well, I'm hoping that I have time because he's a sophomore, rising junior now. He's a junior now.
Okay.
He's got 2 years left. And I'm hoping I have time to, you know, sit back, read about it, talk about it, listen to your that's why I was listening to John. I wanted to know exactly how they were doing it. I didn't know they were doing, 20 million NIL from the schools and whatever John else was saying. I don't know if you remember any of the stuff he was talking about there. But I don't know. It's a different time. And I tell you what. It kind of takes away the joy of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Becomes it's a business way earlier than it ever should be for these young athletes.
And the parents too. And the parents too, because you know, you don't want him jumping around a portal. And this is what I really want for my son. I want him to know his alma mater song. That's what I want.
Sure.
You know, just proud that you went to Niagara U, you know, or Canisius, and that's where you went for 4 years, and you know your fight song and everything else. So
hey, what's been your interaction with Coach Brown? Like, have you gotten to know him at all?
not really as much as you. The way it works, you know more of your position coaches than you do of your head coach. Because head coach is just so busy. He's pretty much everywhere until you go for an official visit. Once you make that official visit, then you might speak to him once. You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, it's your position coach who's doing the deal, the weekly phone calls or whatever it is. Those are the guys it is. And I guess a guy like Coach Brown would definitely rely on his position coaches to say, okay, this is who you want. Where's your board? That's the person you want, and that's the person we're going to offer. So for me, my son, he got his first offer for Syracuse and back in May. Okay. And he got his first offer. And since then, now he has 12.
All right, one more thing before I let you go. I appreciate this phone call as a dad down there. Are you familiar with, have you seen, so former Bills wide receiver Gabe Davis has what's called the Draft Academy, and it's in Orlando. Do you know about this?
Yes, I heard about the Draft Academy. And yes, we're looking in it.
Okay. Okay. Well, I've been there. I visited. And I will tell you the things that, you know, they're doing down there and Gabe and his team is doing to help young athletes get into, you know, transition to college and be ready for that work, and some of the coaches they have and the trainers they have, and then even the athletes who are already in the NFL that are a part of that. I'm just going to tell you, I think it would be really beneficial maybe for you to look into it, and there's going to be some people that you can lean on there. So they're just, I'm recommending that to you, and I would definitely do that.
I definitely will. Thanks a lot.
You got it, buddy. Thanks. And tell them Sal sent you, all right, T?
I will.
You got it, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate that. Good stuff there, right there. T down in Orlando. Yeah, I've been to the Draft Academy. It's Gabe Davis's business. And I visited it actually last March when I was down. Gabe had already signed with the Jags. But I went over to visit the Draft Academy, see what he was doing there with him and his team. And they're doing some amazing things for young athletes down there. And it's just, in this day and age, you have to have people be advocates for you, look out for you, and try to help you. And there's a lot of NFL players who are part of it, and him and his team and his trainers. So anyway, T, go do that. Go look up the Draft Academy, you'll have Bert. Bert is a big is a guy there that works with Gabe a lot, so you'll be in good hands. All right, we'll take a timeout. Patrick Hammer joining us after this timeout. Talk about the weather for Labor Day and a look ahead to next week, week one of the NFL, up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
Well, there is a game next week, not this weekend. There's some college football going on this weekend, and then we're into week number one. So we're still 9 days away from the Bills opener at Highmark Stadium against the Arizona Cardinals. Joining me on the Wester Hotline right now is our guy, WGRZ-TV2 Chief Meteorologist Patrick Hammer. I'm kind of mad at you right now. You put me in a not a good spot earlier today, just so you know that.
Oh, that's good. That. Okay, that's a great way to start. Let's
so, go. Yeah, I mean, that's what happens. You're the weatherman, so you have to, you know this goes along with the territory. You retweeted that you were going to be on, and then you said, and we'll talk about next week's weather forecast. You put an eyeball emoji with a rain emoji, and I got really mad.
Okay. Yeah. Let's start the discussion. Okay.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's start there.
Weekend. We'll start there. Okay. So here's the deal. Overall, and by the way, it was a rain like sun emoji.
Yes. It didn't. It wasn't like fully on pour umbrella. It was sun with rain.
Okay. So here's the deal. We are what is it? 9 days away from the game. So remember, that's a long way out. Overall, here's what we do. Here's a for sure for next Sunday. It's not going to be hot, okay? Not hot. Kind of like the way you and I were described in college. It's not hot. but temperatures will probably be in the 70s, okay? That we know. The only thing that I put those eyeballs on there is that there's something, a little weak disturbance spinning in the atmosphere nearby, okay? And this is the time of the year that these things can spin up a few showers, and I would be lying to you if, even though your app and a lot of stuff that you see for next Sunday says sunny and 75 or whatever, I can't ignore that little feature, okay? Does it go away? Does it slide to the east, giving us a beautiful Sunday? Is that a possibility? Absolutely. I think 74 and sunny is a real possibility. However,
okay,
with this little, this is what, you know, this is what you look at these little features for, because they can mean something. I recall, we've talked about this often, sometimes you see things far out that turn into nothing, or sometimes they turn into something. I remember talking about the Ravens game 2 years ago when we saw something tropical 10 days out, and it turned out to be a downpour, the game in Baltimore. This is kind of one of those things, not a downpour, but something we can see. We hope it goes away. We hope it drifts somewhere else. But for now, I can't say that a shower chance is impossible. Okay?
Okay, well, and even as you say that, you're saying the word chance in there. It's not like even if it rained, yes, we don't think at this point it would be some sort of Baltimore scenario.
No, it's not that. And, you know, any time you're seven to 9 days out, you would never put 100% chance on anything, right? So I'm planning on comfortable weather. I'm planning on a nice day. But I got to keep an eye on this little thing, because it could scare up some showers for Sunday and next week. But, you know, we can revisit next week and go with nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. We'll talk next Friday and find out. When you say not hot, how cool could it get?
Like, okay, I heard Joe talking about the last time the Cardinals were in town was in 2016 season, and the weather was perfect because the temperature was like 70, and that's what we're thinking. Probably upper 60s to low 70s. So when I mean not hot, this isn't going to be one of those hot, you know, early season games where it's in the 80s and 90s. Don't see that happening. This looks like temperature-wise very comfortable.
All right, I love it. Okay, well, you made me feel a little bit better after that. I know that it's 9 days out. We'll keep monitoring. We'll have you on next week. We'll talk about it. What about Labor Day weekend? How does that look here in Buffalo? We have this thing on Memorial Day. You know how we talk about it every year. Memorial Day is amazing, and it was again this year. What about Labor Day?
Yeah. So Labor Day. Okay, let's start with. Well, let's go through it day by day. Today, beautiful. Yep. Tonight, late tonight, tomorrow morning, some showers for any late night revelers. There could be some showers or a couple of downpours to navigate overnight tonight. For tomorrow, there will be some showers around mid to late morning, probably until about noon, 1 o'clock, and then they should push off to the east. So is there a rain chance tomorrow for the first half of the day? Yeah, there could be a little dry time in there as well. But once we're beyond, let's say 1-2 o'clock, we're all clear. And, if you're heading out, doing anything outside, going to the Wing Fest, it looks good, in the afternoon and evening. Sunday looks gorgeous, but it will be windy, a breezy day. It's a windy day on Sunday. Temperatures both Saturday and Sunday in the 70s. I would say anytime after 4 to 6 PM, a quick little shower may skirt through quickly. Do not alter your plans because of it. And we're leading to Labor Day, rather, that will be kind of on the cooler side. Sunshine, upper 60s for Labor Day. So two issues, some showers first half of tomorrow, and a little bit of wind on Sunday.
And you and I will both be at Wing Fest judging wings. That's always a great time. That's on Sunday, by the way, we'll be there. And we should be okay there, a little windy, though.
A little windy, yeah, but one of the things that I love having the Wing Fest where it is now at Highmark is that sometimes that breeze is awesome. When it was at Salem Field, which was fine, it can get really hot down there. You know, when you're eating wings and you got sauce all over your face and it's hot and still. At Highmark, you get a nice breeze in there, and it just kind of makes it feel good and fresh and everything. So it's a lot of fun. You and I are going to have I can't wait to see you and Max there. It's going to be a good time, good food, and good wings, rather, of course. And hopefully this year I don't have to do what I did 2 years ago, which was do the bobbing for wings in a vat of blue cheese on stage.
Oh, that's right. You did that.
That was good. Yeah.
I remember that for sure.
I think I still have an odor of blue cheese.
We just had... like earlier today, we were talking a few different things. I had a fantasy football draft last night for the Bills media, like people in the media room. There's so many people. We have two different leagues actually at the end. We kind of play off at the end. Are you a fantasy football player?
So I am with some of my pals actually out in California, which means that I'm the sole representative of kind of an East Coast, you know, based team. I will admit I depend upon my 16-year-old son to help me figure out what the heck I'm doing. I'm new at it. I can't claim to be really good at it. And I just started it. Last year was my first year doing a fantasy league. So, yes, I am in a fantasy league, but with serious help from others. Because in terms of trade, you know, it's just I'm new to the whole thing. Yeah, it's fun.
All right. Well, I totally get that. Now, you mentioned California. I know you have a lot of ties there. I had Syracuse Athletic Director John Wildhack on, and we are now living in an era where two teams that are in California are in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Stanford, who you, I know, have a tie there, and Cal. I mean, what is – this is crazy, Pat.
I was looking at USC and who they're playing, Rutgers and Penn State. I'm like, wait, what?
Oh, my God. I know.
I mean, it's just crazy. So, you know, but to see, you know, Stanford Cardinal and the Bears play against your team, I mean, it's a new experience. It's going to be fun. I mean, legacy football from those teams. A lot of history, obviously. Great players have come from both programs, and as you know. And I think it's kind of cool, but it's just weird to see the schedule and see all this cross-country travel. A lot of these California or West Coast teams are not doing.
Well, that part is cool. What's not cool is there's no more Pac-12. I mean, there's literally two teams left in the Pac-12. It's sad, man.
I know. I grew up, it was the Pac-10 for me, and it was, you know, all of the teams, just great rivalries. I remember being at the Cal-Stanford game during the play where the lateral in 1981 took the team into the end zone and hit the guys in the band, you know, that famous play. I was there. Yeah. So many great rivalries that are now gone. I mean, you still have USC Notre Dame, but you don't have USC Stanford or USC. I mean, it's the whole thing's different. I'm going to miss that terribly.
And then finally, when I was talking with John Wildhack, we were trying to navigate all this NIL portal stuff. All right, here's my question for you. You're at college, and NIL, right? It comes in. Here's NIL. We can spend it on meteorologists too, right? Where's your name, image, likeness going? Like, what is the, I don't know, the restaurant, the car dealership? Like, who you're like, you know what? That would have been me when I was in college. I needed the deal with that particular entity.
Well, it would have to be a business that unfortunately nobody's familiar with here because it was a San Francisco theme from San Francisco.
Okay.
You can look it up. It's called Trader Vic's.
Okay. What'd they do?
A lot of time, it was a Polynesian restaurant that we always ended up at every night somehow from my teenage years through college. It was actually, there's one in Los Angeles too, but it was a famous San Francisco institution. And it was just kind of, where you went. Great scene, great experience. You know, you didn't give me a lot of time to think about this because I think there'd be but this is the first thing that popped in my mind, and it's got a great name and a great history, and I don't know. I think that would be something I would somehow.
Is it still around?
Be behind. I don't know if the Los Angeles location is still around. I know the San Francisco location did close because I mean it was this place was like hopping in the 1950s and 60s and 70s and was kind of just anybody that was in that area knew of Trader Vic's. It was just the place, the local joint.
There you go. Well, we're going to get a deal for you, NIL, for Patrick Hammer with Trader Vic's. Thanks a lot, buddy. Listen, enjoy your Labor Day weekend. Looking forward to our chats every Friday, like today, and we'll talk more about, you know, what it looks like for that opener next Friday when we catch up. Thank you.
All right. See you Sunday.
All right, you got it. See you Sunday, that's for sure, at Wingfest. I'll be out there. Patrick will be as well as some other media. All right, real quick, let's get to Carl real quick. Carl, how are you? Thanks for holding through all this, and you're on the Extra Point Show.
Yeah, no problem, Sal. It's always a pleasure talking. So, first and foremost, big priority for everybody out there, a must-do Northtown Key at 3900 Sheridan and Amherst, 10 to 12, to see the man, Sal Capaccia. Okay, I'm coming from Connecticut. I'm going to try and get there. I hope I get to meet you in person. You're awesome.
I love it. Make sure you do.
You're welcome. Thank you. Number two, question. So the second half of the season last year, you know, we seemed to hold our own about things. So now we have a new core of receivers. I have two, but kind of a two-part question, I guess. Who do you see that can get separation? I feel like who we have now is really, that doesn't exist to some degree like we'd like it to. Let's just say that's number one. The second part of that, I also feel like, and I think it was brought up earlier on your program, I think they are preparing to do more 10, let's say 15-yard passes, because the way I see it is with the new rule change with the kickoffs, a lot of teams potentially, depending on where the ball drops, have a better chance of getting good field position versus the 30 or 40. With that said, if we do more short passes and we're not trying to unload long balls, we take more time off the clock, which I think when you're playing in Kansas City, you want to try and do, but you still want to get points on the board when you're making those long drives. And lastly, I just happened to be looking at Time Magazine. Do you think we could get Noah Lyles, who was known as the Flash in the Olympics, supposed to be the world's fastest runner?
So I don't know if he has any.
Listen,
all right, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm also going to take a break. I'll come back. So, Carl, I'll put you on hold. I'll come back. I'll answer all those questions the best I can because I got to take this break, and then we'll wrap up the Extra Point Show as I answer those questions here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, to answer your questions, Carl, number one, where's separation coming from? I think you're going to get a lot more separation horizontally than vertically, but Curtis Samuel can certainly run, and I think that would be the guy that you'd use mostly in that situation. Keon Coleman, as I always say, separation with his body, not so much his speed, but he can get separation in that manner. Number two, Noah Lyles. I guarantee you, NFL teams are poking on that and looking into it, but not sure if he has really NFL experience. Football experience, haven't looked into that much, but takes a lot more to play than just run fast. A lot of teams have tried that with Olympic sprinters. It just hasn't necessarily worked out. So thanks for the phone call on that. Yes, he is right. I will see everybody next Thursday at Northtown Kia for this show. Come by. Paula's Donuts, WGR giveaways, 10 to 12 next Thursday. In the meantime, have a great Labor Day weekend. Sabres Live up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.